We're gonna do it like this for the next hour, all gospel. It's a Sunday, y'all don't go to church, so we gonna take you to church.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Saint LeBron. It has been an eventful week. I'm gonna start off with the Kamala rally, the last one that was in Houston, Texas. But first, let me really get into why this movement is really grasping at the spirits, the ruach of women. They've been told that they're the most smartest, educated demographic above men, especially black men. And I said this before, they're trying to turn this old Willie Lynch doctrine of black man versus black woman, light skin versus dark skin thing to the max. And the way they do that is by trying to separate us by us being dumb animals or dumb slaves, and the women being the most educated because they're what? They're in the house. They're next to Massa. They're the Sally Hennings of this generation. And this was the whole point of the Boulay. This is the whole point of these Black Greek organizations. So they can rise to the top to be the ultimate gatekeepers of so-called knowledge and wisdom. And I said before on this show that if you look at all their ritual books and handbooks, it's all scattered online. It ain't even a secret no more, because the Most High has said, I'm going to manifest all things that are hidden in secret for reproof, for correction, and for exposing. And if you read some of these handbooks, you just have to laugh, because it does have scripture in it. They barely talk about their gods. It's more about, oh, this is a sisterhood. We are an organization that's helping. But if you look at some of the language, it's laughable. And you can just imagine them being in the dark room with cloaks on or candles or however they do it, and kneeling and standing up and singing praises, and It's foolishness, really. If you look at the rituals of it, it's foolishness. Now, I know it probably have gotten darker over the years, and they've added the paddling, the taking wood, as they call it. But it's silly. And so they go hard with this, black women are the smartest and most educated demographic. Our public school system, from elementary to middle to high school to higher education, its foundation is Freemasonic. Look up the father of public school education. He was a Freemason. So you're not educated, you're indoctrinated. What do you think Deborah, Yehudith, Esther, Aseneth, Ruth, you thought these women went to the libraries of Alexandria and sat there and read scrolls on top of scrolls in different languages? No. These women may not have done that. These women were like, look, I'm going to follow your God. I'm going to follow your Elohim. I'm going to stand up for Yah. I know about his Torah. The women in scriptures, they didn't say these women are heavy readers and heavy educators. These women were called and they answered the call. They stepped away from religion. They stepped away from their identity. They stepped away from their country to be joined unto Yasharel. That's smarts. That's being educated. That's not being indoctrinated. The Most High has said repeatedly that the wisdom and education of this world is foolishness with the Most High. So the women in this generation are still after or running after their foolishness, which is the tree of knowledge, which is why women marveled at this knowledge, marveled at this tree, because they wanted to be like God. So these pawns and puppets that masquerade on the platform of Hollywood and music pretend that they're goddesses, but we all know they're controlled. We know that Cardi B has problems with MK Ultra glitches. She did it on the red carpet. She did it on a radio show, or it was like a podcast. But the homeboy had to smack his hands together 3 times to snap her out of her trance. Now she's in a hospital. Now they tell you she's in a hospital. I don't know why they need to tell you. They could just put her in a hospital and blah, blah, blah. But she's going under. She may go into the next phase of her MK Ultra. This is what they do. When they move celebrities off to a distance or off into the shadows, it's usually to reprogram them. I don't know why. It must be because she's not really smart and she's really dumb that her brain can't handle this type of glitching, or because she's already been wicked before being wicked. Like some of these artists, they weren't as wicked as they are now. They had to, like, you had to bring them into it. But if you get somebody like a stripper who's already possessed, who's already have a legion of demons on their flesh, it's hard to probably put them under and keep them under. So that's probably why she glitches. Because she don't have the brain stamina for constant, probably electroshock. We know the whole thing about MK Ultra. It involves electroshock, torture, trauma, all of that. But how can you do it to somebody who's already lived through a traumatic life experience, who's already in demonic strongholds? You know, but that's the whole thing with the whole Garden of Eden. Wanting to be like a goddess and wanting the man to eat and partake of and say, oh, I'm the one that gave you this knowledge. I'm pretty sure if this went down the way that Eve wanted it to go down and the Most High didn't say nothing, Eve would have told him, like, look, remember when I gave you knowledge? Don't snap back at me. I'm the one that gave you this knowledge. Remember? Because we know we have women that love to tell us what they used to do for us or what they do for us. Hey, remember when I do this? Don't talk back to me. Because you should just imagine if the Most High wasn't in the picture, how far this whole thing with the serpent and Eve would have gone. That Adam would sure enough be destroyed. That every child that came from Eve would be emasculated. So that's what the Democratic Party is. It's a party to emasculate men. Now, I could care less about the right, left, red, blue, Democrat, Republican paradigm. But I'm just telling you, this is the whole point of it. This is why all of the Democratic Party, you only see the women stand up. And you only see the women stand up who are part of the BULE, the Black Greek organizations. This is why you see that. You don't see Black Democrats like Bakari Sellers or James Clyburn. You don't see them truly stand up and talk and say, hey, we need to do this. You don't even see them on CNN. You don't see them on MSNBC. You only see women and you see some Black intellectuals, or so-called Black intellectuals. So they want to push that the Black woman is smarter than the Black man. She's the most educated person. But the knowledge of this world means nothing, as I stated before in examples of the women from scripture. So you get to the Kamala rally and emotions and desires are high. And then what do you see? You see Kelly Rowland come out dressed as a man in a suit with the short haircut, with the baggy suit. And then you see her holding hands with Beyonce, who is the image of femininity. She's never came out and crossed to be masculine. She's always been feminine. Soft, quiet, feminine. That's just her aura. And for me being around her, she's quiet. But the time that I noticed that she came out, or they both came out, was 9/11 Central Time. That's the time they came out. And I'm trying to tell you, they are setting this up to be the ultimate programming for another 9/11 disaster, except it ain't gonna be just one day. It's gonna be multiple days of this. They're already telling you through numbers. Do you remember the whole incident with the two women, mother and daughter, who were hiding ballots, and they were on video hiding ballots in Georgia? The video that OAN Network showed that these two women were pulling out big boxes of ballots after everybody left under a table that was covered. Like, they put the table there, hid the ballots, waited for everybody to leave, brought these ballots out and started counting. It looked shady. And then Rudy Giuliani came out and defamed their character and said, these women were this, these women were that. Now, he had just recently lost. He didn't contest it. He recently just lost the case against them, where now he has to give up his Yankee rings. He has to give up jerseys, memorabilia. He has to give up two apartments, one in West Palm, one in New York. Now, when CNN did this interview talking about what Rudy Giuliani had to give up, she was standing at his apartment. Supposedly, she was standing at his apartment during this interview. And I looked up the awning. The awning said 45. I said, man, that's kind of odd to be 45 because Donald Trump wears that 45 to 47 hat. So I looked to the right of her. Sure enough, on that building, it said 47. It said 45 and 47 right next to a door. 45, 47. 4 plus 5 is 9. 4 plus 7 is 11. 9, 11. I'm telling you, they're going to finagle those ballots. They're going to mess with those votes in Georgia. And key states are going to do it. And that's why she keeps going back to Atlanta. She did about, what, two or three rallies in Atlanta? You only see them go to the key states. They don't have time to go to, like, the little small mom and pop Iowas and you know, they don't have time to do all that. They're going to the key states, and they're going to states where they know there is a large number of Black and Hispanic people. And they do this because they want to rile up, not men, they want to rile up women. The smartest, most educated demographic, they're trying to rile up through emotion. Like I said before, women are smart. They are brilliant. But when it comes to their emotions, they get cloudy because they don't think logically. And somehow they've been programmed to believe that their women's rights is really boiled down to if they can destroy their womb or not. How is that a right? And I said this before on Instagram. You know how many steps you have to take for your women's reproductive rights to end up on the altar of a Freemasonic ritual? Because that's all it is. Do you think the government really cares about saving children? Come on, you know they don't care. They could care less about saving children. Their whole design through Hollywood, through sports, through the government, is to destroy the children. So why do you think they want to save them? They traffic in children. They abuse children. They satanically ritually abuse children. They sell children. If one politician goes to Epstein's Island, you know all of them are been out over at Epstein's Island. If any, just his island, there's Branson of Virgin Records or Virgin everything. He got an island. There's more than just Epstein's Island. They're all up and down the Caribbean. So they tell you about this place just because they shutting it down and about to move it to another place. They tell you about one sex trafficker and then they bring up another sex trafficker. They never cut off the head of the snake. They cut off the tail and then they show you, hey, we cut the tail off. But this snake got many heads. So they truly don't cut the heads off anything. They cut the tail off, tail grow back, but it's still multiple heads. This is what they show you. Don't think that they have stopped doing this because Epstein went away. And in my opinion, I don't think he ever died. I think they shuffled him out, put in a fake body, and he's still doing what he's supposed to do under wraps. Remember, they control media, so there ain't going to be no, oh, I saw him out in London one day. No, they control the media. They control phones. They control everything. So you never know who he is. Plus, he could have gotten his face and all that reconstructed just like they like to do. I mean, they're amazing at hiding stuff. I mean, that's why they come out with little tidbits, shows like, oh, this is what the CIA has to do, or this is what spies have to do when they want to go undercover. And they show you the mask of how they change races, how they change their appearances. They do all this so you don't start getting suspicious and curious when you happen to see one of their little puppets walking around here in a disguise. You think, oh, okay, this is what spies do. But they show you this is what they do to fool you into thinking that they really cutting off the head of the snake. We just blindly accept. But the whole thing is, they think women are supposed to be against some patriarch. When they think the patriarch is trying to steal their rights away. And I said, the patriarch is not a patriarch. It's a patriarch pretending to be a matriarch, which means it's in drag. That means the image they think of this man is going against them for their reproductive rights. It's not really a man. It's a trans man. It's a man that's trying to be feminine. Because if he takes away your reproductive rights, he sees it as now you're like me. I can't have kids, so I don't want you to have kids. So now we can be one. That's the whole thing with the Baphomet. That's why it has breasts, and that's why it has his penis out. And that's why you see a black child and a white child at his altar or at his feet. That's the ultimate symbolism. The government doesn't care about your womb to the point that he cares about if you're healthy or not, or if you, you know, are a victim of rape or incest, that they want to take care of you. They don't care. They encourage it. Because that's what they do with their children. They sell off their children to the elite for them to do exactly what you think they don't want to happen. Oh, if it's rape and incest, that we have to have this way. And that's all they go to. Oh, if it's a rape and incest case, you know, how are we supposed to deal with that if she doesn't want the body, want the baby? They don't care. You think they care, they don't care. They really don't. But women say, that's the issue. And if you look at really the decision making of some certain women who claim that they're educated, it makes no sense because, like I said before, you have to go through steps, doors, windows, tiers, elevators to even get to having your reproductive rights on the altar of their ritual. You pass up abstinence, you pass up sex after marriage or sex when you get married, you pass up a female condom, you pass up a male condom, you pass up birth control, you pass up IUDs, you pass up the morning after pill. You go through so many steps to save you for having your rights end up with Freemasons. You go through so many steps. So what they see is you aren't able to hold yourself accountable, that you women aren't accountable enough. You're not smart enough to really take care of your own wombs. Now we're going to use this certain reproductive right, or we're going to use this one right that you have, because you have the right to do everything else. Now we have this one right to hold over your head that you can't handle. You can't handle the responsibility of your womb. So now we are going to handle it for you. And we're going to handle it in a way that now you are going to be like us, the man. So we want to be like you. We want to bring ourselves over into the feminine, and you should want to be over into the masculine. So that's why you see a lot of so-called social justice workers being what? Trans, I'm not trans, but you see them being masculine women. You see them being of the LGBTQ community, aka studs. That's what you see now. You see black studs in the forefront because now they're trying to give that power. Like, no, be masculine. Instead of worrying about abortions, just be gay. Be like what we can be. And that's all it is. It's the merging. That's why they give you red and blue. That's why you see her come out in purple. That's why you see the color purple all the time with this campaign. Red and blue, red and blue. And so you see the merging of purple. Red is the fire. Blue is the water. Red is the woman. Blue is the man. It's even made like the Star of David. The fire, I think the fire is up and the water is feminine, whatever it is, one of these symbols, water is up, fire is down, whatever it is. And if you merge the two, it creates the Star of David, the Star of Shaun, the Star of Moloch, which is what? The blood sacrificing God of children. Boom. They say they want you to sacrifice your womb, but they're going to hold this whole abortion thing over your head until you vote for the side, or do you vote for the side that's going to cause you to have an uproar, and which is why they're starting to give you female school shooters or female mass shooters. They softly giving it to you. That's why that woman at that Covenant school it didn't make any sense why she was upset that she was a grown-ass woman and she went back into a young children's school all of a sudden to go shoot it up. But that's what they're showing you. They're showing like, oh, this trans woman, this woman who wants to, who was gay, who was just upset. They soft playing it. It's going to soon stop being about young teenage boys and it's going to merge into wild women. But they have to use this election to do it. So Kelly got up there and started talking about women. We got to take the pen back. Take the pen back from who? Who got the pen? Because as I see it, it's multiple females, black females in the Democratic Party that are voting. It's a lot of them. So you trying to tell me y'all can't get nothing done when the Congress and the House and the Senate are almost just about equal? Who are we taking the pen back? It's not all men that's running the government. The guy that y'all wanted in supposed to have done these things for you. The guy that you have wanted in is supposed to do things for you. The woman and man that you got in the office supposed to have done things for you the last 4 years and nothing has happened. So who are you taking the pen back from? Then she's like, you could tell she was reading the teleprompter and she had to be all excited and she had to sell this masculine energy because she was wearing a suit. She couldn't be feminine. So that's why you saw her try to get all, you know, hype, like she's upset. That's what the funny part of these celebrities is that they all of a sudden they don't have a platform to stand on when it talks about social issues. If it's not about posting their pictures or posting their glamour shots, and all of a sudden she comes out of nowhere as if she all of a sudden she's a strong social justice warrior all of a sudden. It's laughable. And of course, people were more pissed that Beyonce didn't give them a free concert because that's really why people went. People went like, oh, she's going to perform like Megan Thee Stallion performed in Atlanta. So that's why people gathered to Houston. And then when they found out that she wasn't going to sing, people were leaving mid-show. They didn't want to hear Kamala talk. But that's really speaks to the power of Beyonce, that people would rather hear you sing than open your mouth to talk about something real. That was funny. That's what I got from that. People would rather hear you sing and dance than speak on issues. That's powerful to me. That means these celebrities ain't worth anything, and they know they're not worth nothing. They just need it for emotional support. It ain't they trying to learn anything from Kelly Rowland and Beyonce. They were there for emotional support to keep them in their sin, to keep them in their wickedness. That's all they need. They need that. Women need that, I think. Women need constant emotional support. Men, we are governed differently. When it comes to our wickedness, we are very logical about our wickedness. We are very logical about our wickedness. We literally just go with the flow. We'll just do whatever. If we can do it, we'll do it. That's when it comes to our wickedness. But women, and it's always to that point of when women cheat, they always make this funny statement is that when it comes to women cheating, they don't cheat with just anybody. They cheat with that one person they know gets under your skin. That's the person they'll cheat with. See, men don't have an attachment to emotion when they do certain things, most things. But when women, when they have an emotional attachment and they know where that emotional attachment can get at you or get under your skin, that's exactly what they'll go to get under your skin. And then once you've either been wronged or you are wrong, we look at the things logically and say, okay, this is where we're wrong and this is what we need to fix. But for some reason, when it comes to women, and especially immature and spiritually immature women, it becomes, I need more images on top of images to help me throughout my day to make me feel like I'm always right, like I'm always in the green, I'm always on the go, like I can just do anything. And that's why they set up so many of these images and these idols and these puppets over women to confuse them, because it's always images of they seeing, oh, this is right, this is what I'm gonna go after. Even though if they just did a little bit of research it would find out that these people are masonically controlled, that these people read a script, that these people are puppets. But they throw all of that knowledge and understanding out the window just for that emotional support that they need to keep them right where they're at. That's why you see the Democratic act the way they act. This is why you see mainstream media act the way they act, because they know it works. They know this spell works. They know this spell is the best spell they could ever put on women. It's to give them an image of feminism, regardless of how dangerous it is, regardless if it's going to lead them down a path of loneliness and destruction. It don't matter, because women see things 5 feet in front of them. They don't see the long haul. They don't see what men see. We see, it's like I told somebody this, I think I did told on the podcast, last podcast, I said, when men see a woman that they want, they think marriage right off jump. They be like, I'm already at the altar waiting for this woman. Now, she has the ability to lose me at this altar, but this is where I'm at. I see that I'm going to marry this woman. That's how men see. When men see the woman that they want, they be like, I'm going to marry this woman. I'm at the altar already. Now, all I got to do is get her there. I'm already there. Mentally, I'm going to make sure I want to get her there emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and physically. That's where men see the work at. When men are interested in a woman, that's exactly where their stance is. Their stance is, and well, I'm going to kind of see how this works out. Men don't like wasting time. Men look at it as, I need to get her from point A to point D, and I know the steps to do it. Women were like, oh, I don't know how this is going to go, so I'm going to take it one step at a time. I don't know. I'm not sure, because my emotional trauma is holding me back from really opening myself up. So that's why men give you everything up front. And it is up to you to lose that attachment or not. So that's why this world is designed not to really show women that the patriarch is just a man trying to be a woman. That's why they do that. So a lot of the women's arguments of, oh, it's the patriarch. It's the patriarch this. It's the patriarch that. The patriarch doesn't want me to have my baby. Or the patriarch wants me to be raped and incest, and they're not going to take care of me. The patriarch wants this. It's none of that. It's really you versus you. I wish women would really understand it. It's you versus you. You versus you, you versus you, you versus you. That's all it is. It's you versus you. Ain't got nothing to do with the patriarch. It got nothing to do with man. It got nothing to do with government. It has everything to do with you. You can easily look at that fruit from the tree of knowledge and throw it away. You can do that. You can say, I no longer want this fruit. It doesn't taste good to me anymore. It's not even ripe. I don't want this anymore. You could ask the Most High, show me the way in which you think I should go. And I think y'all need to start learning how to do that ASAP. Before I get into like the day and night of Yahuwah and Yahusha, I'm going to end that particular part of this show with Enoch 97, chapter 9. Not chapter 9, Enoch chapter 97, verse 9. And now I swear to you, crafty as well as simple ones, that you, often contemplating the earth, you men, clothe yourselves more elegantly than married women, and both together more so than a woman, and more colored than a girl, everywhere in majesty, in magnificence, in authority, and in silver, but gold, purple, honor, and wealth, like water, flow away. This is Enoch pretty much stating from where he was at to the future that men were going to act, dress, and want to be like females. That's why you see the NFL, the NBA. Now it's a catwalk going to the games. Now we're focusing on the outfits going to the games. It's not about looking at the face of the man when he's going to business and going to work. Because I've been in those tunnels and had my headphones on, and the camera walks up on you. I'm having like regular casual men outfit on, but they're more focusing on the focus and the determination of my face. Now it's about dudes wearing wide leg jeans, tight shirts, furs, the most effeminate and feminine outfits that you ever see. And they're only showing you the particular skill positions that do this. It's either DBs or wide receivers. It's DBs or wide receivers that's dressing up. Because why? Because wide receivers are the easiest ones to look feminine. Defensive backs and wide receivers are the easiest ones to effeminate. It's hard to really effeminate a running back or a defensive end or a linebacker. It's just because they look too masculine for it. But when it comes to wide receivers, they're all what, $180, $170, $160, 5'11", 6', 6'2", 6'3". They're almost like basketball players. So it's easy for them to wear this effeminate wear, the effeminate outfits. Because like I said before, what patriarch are women fighting against? You fighting against drags. You fighting against trans women. You fighting against the RuPauls of this generation. And that's why your makeup, your wigs, your contouring emulate a man wearing makeup, wigs, contours. Women were not heavy into eyelashes and makeup until men jumped on the scene, making it look better than them. That's when the what is his name? Charles something, whatever his name was, he had that makeup deal. When you start seeing gay men used and do makeup better than certain women, women got scared. I'm like, oh, this is what men want. What men don't want, trans women. So women thought they were threatened about men wearing makeup better than them, that they went overboard with it. So that's why they started doing their lips bigger, as if they already had a butt. They had their butt be bigger. It was trying to make them hyper feminine because they felt the threat of that masculine energy going into the feminine. So without thinking, they're like, oh, we're trying to up this. So that's why women look silly right now with those big bat eyelashes, those big wish broom eyelashes. And they don't even look feminine. You just look silly. You look like you're wearing a costume. But y'all are supposed to be the most smartest and educated demographic. Like I said, man, this is the wrong time to be spiritually, really mentally and emotionally immature. Because when I read the book of Ezra, it talks about that the world is divided in 12 parts. And the 10th part of it is gone already. And he says the 10th and a half part, the verse after that, that is gone already. Fam, you understand that? 12. 12 parts are already, 10 parts are already gone. We already almost at the door. And I know that we lived in a time where our grandmother said, oh, we living in our last days. We living in our last days. We heard our grandmother say that almost all our lives. But now it's real. It's real. Like it says in 4 Ezra in the Sefer, chapter 13, verse 23. He that shall endure the peril in that time has kept himself. They that be fallen into danger are such as have works and faith toward El Shaddai. Know this therefore, that they which be left behind are more blessed than they that be dead. Wait, hold up though. Christians say that if you're left behind, you're cursed. And that they are going to be raptured away first. But wait. It says in scripture that the wheat and tare will grow up together, and it will be the tare gathered up first to be thrown in the fire, and it's the wheat that is left behind gathered into the barn. This verse says, notice therefore that they which be left behind are more blessed than they that be dead. So if you're being thrown into the fire, and if the Most High is coming back with fire, that means you are surely going to be dead. And this is the visions and dreams that he told Ezra. Same chapter, 13, verse 49 and 50. Now when he destroys the multitude of the nations that are gathered together, he shall defend his people that remain, and then shall he show them great wonders. Great wonders. And in the book of Ezra, he talks about, I will not suffer my children to dwell in the land of Mizraim. So I will smite Mizraim with plagues as I did before. But Mizraim didn't get struck with 10 plagues twice. So who is this second Mizraim or second Egypt that he's talking about that's going to be getting hit by plagues? It is America. America is going to have 3 days, maybe 3 days of darkness, the plagues of lice, boils, heat, blood, famine, pestilence, maybe the killing of the firstborns. This is what the Most High says. This didn't happen in Egypt twice. And the children, all of his children wasn't in Egypt again. So he says, my children are led like flock to the slaughter. I will not suffer them now to dwell in the land of Mizraim. I seen Hebrews already talking about, oh, this is our land. We are the real Aboriginal native people. Because now the foolishness of doctrines is watering down or choking the growth of so-called believers or so-called Israelites in the truth. Now, because they base their knowledge and understanding all on doctrines and all on how many people are following them, now they're sounding completely stupid and saying that now the Native Americans aren't the real Native Americans, that they're pretendians, that we are here first. This is our land. When the Most High said, I won't suffer you to stay in this land because you're being led like a flock to slaughter. And it's through doctrines, it's through your own foolishness and wickedness, and the fact that you're being here too long, because now you've been hoping for the Most High to come and show up and give you some type of blessing, give you some like a comfort and peace. But you, when you don't see that, then you turn your back on the Most High, or you're trying to go into a different esoteric meaning of his scripture, because now you're not getting comfort and peace and blessings from the Most High. So now you're relying on how many people can I get to follow me? And if I have to sound like these new mystics, these new age spiritualists, now I can merge in the doctrine that's going around that people, that black folk are the real Indians. Now I can draw in, and it'll appease my flesh, and it'll appease my hole in my system of not being comforted and at peace with the Most High. Because that's what's going on. That's why I see so many brothers leaving. They're not trying to leave the faith completely, but they're leaving it a little bit at a time because they're not seeing the fruit of their doing. And then because their fruit of their doing is becoming corrupted, especially as teachers. I'm not going to say nothing to them. I'm gonna watch that ship go down. And I'm going to smile when it goes down. I'm not going to step in no more and saying correct nobody's. Oh, it's your brother. You got to correct them. I'm not doing none of that, because brothers are high minded. They're haughty minded, and they're in their own feelings and their own emotions about how they perceive information, how they perceive the Most High. So I'm going to let them drown in that ship. I'm going to do exactly what Yah told Moshe and Aaron when the nation of Yisrael was acting up in the wilderness. He said that, no, move back away from these people, I'm about to consume them in a moment. So I'm going to move my ass back and just watch. But Most High also talks about in chapter 13 about his son coming back. In verse 52, he says, and he said unto me, like as you can neither seek out nor know the things that are in the deep of the sea, even so can no man upon earth see my son or those that be with him, but in the daytime. And if we go to multiple scriptures, it says what? In John 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 8:12, then spoke Yahushua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 11, 9 and 10. Yahushua answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him. So we know when Yahushua came into this world, there was light, there was salvation, there was a chance, there was opportunity. When he's removed out of this world became what? Dark. People's minds become dark. Emotions. The stupor that the Most High is talking about that's coming upon this whole world. The stupor of heart. The unconsciousness. That's what being going dark means. So if we cannot see Yahushua, but in the day, he's saying, we may not know the hour in which they come, Yahuwah or Yahushua, but we can tell it's from the day and the night. What does the Most High say about his coming? In Joel 2:3-1, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Yahuwah come. So we don't know the hour, but we do know it's going to be either day or night. Amos 5:18, woe unto you that desire the day of Yahuwah. To what end is it for you? The day of Yahuwah is darkness, not light. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Yahuwah come. And remember, in Yasher 80, 39 and 40, and Yahuwah plagued them in the 3 days of darkness, and Yasharel buried them in those days without the Mitzrayim knowing of them or rejoicing over them. So the ones who disobeyed Moshe and Aaron, the ones who didn't want to leave Egypt, the ones who didn't want to leave America, they got killed as long, just like the Egyptians got killed. So you fools that's going around saying that, oh, we're Native American, Aboriginal, Hebrew Israelites, that this is our land and we're gonna defend our land, you're foolish and gravely mistaken, because you're going to die with these Mitzrayim. You're going to die with these Egyptians. You're going to die with these Americans. And in the darkness was very great in Mitzrayim for 3 days, and any person who was standing when the darkness came remained standing in his place, and he that was sitting remained sitting, and he that was lying continued lying in the same state. He that was walking remained sitting upon the ground in the same spot. And this thing happened to all of Mitzrayim until the darkness had passed away. And then the Most High told them what? And the days of darkness passed away, and Yahuwah sent Moshe and Aaron to the children of Yasharel, saying, celebrate your feast and make your Pesach. For behold, I come in the midst of the night amongst all the Mitzrayim, and I will smite all their firstborn, from their firstborn of a man to the firstborn of a beast. And when I see your Pesach, I will pass over you. So you think the second Exodus ain't going to be about the Passover or the Pesach? Now, I'm not speaking much about the calendar, but you need to do your due diligence. And this is why, in my head, I'm using all of South Africa's seasons. Because I know in my heart that the Most High is not going to come back based on America's seasons or America's moons. But I have a really good chance at being somewhere close, that when he says, get ready for this Pesach, for to leave out of America, I know I'm not going to be too far off. I may be a week or 2 weeks off or so forth, but I know I'm going to be hopefully in the right vicinity. I know I'm not going to be on that Dead Sea Scrolls calendar. I know that much. But I'm excited to see what's going on. I'm not really wishing for the day of the year to come and I'm going to be destroyed. I'm really going to be interested in the destruction and judgment that's going to come upon this place, because it's already happening. They're not talking about everything, but they're talking about just enough to make you think that it's climate change. But if you read the books of Ezra, and he starts mentioning Asia, how Asia is going to be destroyed through earthquakes, through famine, through all that. That stuff is kind of, it's starting to bubble now. But if you read Baruch chapter 27, he talks about how things are going to be intermingled with each other, how certain plagues and events are going to be intermingled and they're going to mix with each other. So there's going to be a lot of people stealing. A lot of people stealing, the great ones being slaughtered, unchastity. It's going to be a lot of that demonic possession, demonic attacks. All that is going to be mingled in. And he talks about a time, times a time. But it's not nothing that we can really fathom as far as the calendar or father, as far as where we are at in what's being mingled together. But I do know that we are in the last days because he said 10 parts of this world has already passed away. He said this thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago, he said this. This is before Yahusha came into this world. He said this before Yahusha. So we're talking a little bit more than 2,000 years, that the 10th parts are already gone. So just imagine where we at. We got to be almost at the 11th or 11 and a half hour or day. We got to be almost right there. So this is not the time to be spiritually, emotionally, mentally handicapped. It really isn't. But if you take a step back and know why they're doing what they're doing, you can understand that it's meant to put the woman on a pedestal enough for it to be destroyed and struck down. They need to use that emotion. They need to harness that emotion because that emotion is powerful over what? It's powerful over the children. It's powerful in the relationships. It's powerful when you have that type of woman in the house. They know what happened with Ahab and Jezebel. They know how powerful that woman is. If a woman like Jezebel is powerful enough to be in Yashareel to rule for a time beside Ahab, you know that they know that this is what the Most High hates. They know that this is what's going to bring him to destroy the world, to destroy the people. He wants to get them there. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants to hurry up and get to exposing himself and you worshiping him for a small, short time. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a small, short time. They want to get you there just so he can have his moment, his day. Because he knows the Most High is not lying. He knows what's going to happen to him. But before he leaves, he wants to take everybody down with him. And it's sad because I've seen mentally retarded or mentally handicapped people now getting a chance to go into college. People with Down syndrome going into college. And then I see them joining Greek organizations. They're now accepting Down syndrome applicants. That's why I know that the Satan don't care about nobody. Whoever he can get, he getting. I've seen people with Down syndrome do TikToks, do Instagram videos, dressing up as women, doing the same foolishness that the Negro community does. The same thing. And I've seen people with Down syndrome, people who really had a front row seat to resurrection, to salvation, to heaven, a front row seat, are now losing that seat to go all the way back to coach and do what Negroes been doing as fools and as wickedness and as sin to be judged. That's the craziest part. They're letting Down syndrome people go into college and then from college go into Greek organizations. That's what Satan don't care about nobody. He wants to destroy as many and as many people as he can. And you won't be able to understand it because this place is set up as a playground. It's meant for you to enjoy everything. So when it says in scripture that you need to deny yourself, and just like Ezra was taken up, not seeing death, given the prize of life, eternal life, because he denied himself and he stuck true to the Torah, which is a very basic and simple thing to do. But some reason, this generation just don't have it. They just don't have the understanding. All this knowledge, all this education, all this understanding, and not being able to step away from this world knowing that it's going to lead to destruction. And it's because they don't see it, it's because they think, oh, because everybody else is doing it and getting away with it, that I don't need to partake in it. I'm seeing all these celebrities, I'm seeing friends, I'm seeing all of them be wicked and sinful, and no one's getting judged for it. But that's such a dangerous concept or dangerous mindset to have. Because like I said before, the wheat and the tare are growing up together. So all of it's going to come to it. The harvest needs to come to its ripeness. It needs to come to its fullness. The good and evil seeds have to come to its full, their full blooming. You have to see exactly what people are. They have to come to the end of themselves. You have to see it. You have to be it. If you're righteous, your righteousness has to come to its pinnacle. And if you're wicked, it has to come to its pinnacle. So when the angels get ready to use that cipher, they get down and start ciphering, harvesting. That's when you know. The Most High, has, like you say, put this place out in 12 parts. He already planted us. Before we came into this world, he planted us and said, this is the way you should go. You decide. Don't be lukewarm. You better be one or the other. You better have some zeal for him, or you want to have some zeal to hate him. And this is why also in scripture he talks about when he starts to bring plagues and destruction upon this world, that people still did not want to repent. Even when he gave them a space, a place of repentance, people did not want to adhere to it. It's going to be an exciting time, especially with this election. But all I'm saying is, do not get emotionally involved. Look at it from the outside. Do like Moshe Aaron did in Numbers. Bag back. Step back a little bit. And watch them consume themselves first before the Most High do it. This is just literally, this is a science experiment for Satan. He wants to see what people are going to do when he imitates the Most High's judgment. So just stand back and watch. So what you see is what's going to happen to all of those who are wicked, to all of those who are unjust and unrighteous. So what you'll see these NPCs do to each other, just get ready for a bigger scale of it to happen across the whole entire world. Let's see y'all next time.